Joan asked me Tuesday, why we read the story of the Passion on Palm Sunday if we're just going to celebrate it all over again this week? Now, my response was, well, Palm Sunday was an overview of what we're going to be celebrating. Now, we're going to spend the rest of the week and we're going to unpack it. That's what these 3 days are for. We literally take the story of the Passion and we live it out. We're immersed inside Jesus' last days on earth. And over the next 3 days, we're going to walk with Jesus from his last meal with his closest friends to being up on the cross and then waiting for his glorious resurrection. But tonight, Jesus still has a few remaining lessons for his closest friends. In fact, in such a short amount of time, within the span of a meal, we're given so much. We're given the sacrament of the Eucharist. We're taught what it means to serve others. And we're given a new commandment that marks us as followers of Christ, to love one another as I have loved you. And to demonstrate this love, Jesus performs an act that can be described as a profoundly intimate act for love for his disciples. It amazes me that Jesus has to resort to the actions that he took to show disciples what it means to love and serve others. Foot washing. Really, Jesus, foot washing. Right. Couldn't you have picked something else? Could you have picked something that maybe was a little bit less dramatic? I mean, or better yet, why don't you just tell us about it? Give us a parable. We love parables. Imagine God's own anointed doing a dirty job like a lowly servant. It was probably embarrassing for Peter. And he's going, well, you're not going to wash my feet. And maybe we feel like Peter. I mean, why should a person who's healed the sick feed 5,000 plus people at one sitting? That's a big catering job. Turn water into wine. Raise people from the dead. Why would he want to wash the dirty feet of some tax collectors, fishermen, and sinners? We hesitate now to even think that somebody like that could wash our feet. It really kind of violates, if you think about it, it violates our personal space. Do we really want somebody looking at our feet and, oh, warts, moles, freckles, scars? Ooh, manicure, pedicure. When Jesus stripped down and wrapped a towel around his body, he wanted to show that despite all the extraordinary things that he has done, that he is with us in our bodily imperfections. Jesus had to do what he did to bring us to a deeper level of what it truly means to be a servant living out the gospel. All of us are in the same place. We're human, flawed, dirty, but we're forgiven and loved just as we are. And he made a point to say to have their feet washed is necessary to live out that mandate of love. These flawed humans were going to go out into the world, to go out into the muck and mire and grime of the world, to proclaim the gospel. Jesus' act is to cleanse them and prepare them to get out into that muck and grime, to bring hope to those that don't have hope, to shelter those without a home, to feed those without food, to heal those who are sick or distressed. It's a reflection of Christ's love for us by making the most profound act of servanthood by going to the cross for the salvation of our imperfect hearts. Even though these things transpired more than 2,000 years ago, Jesus began to do God's work. And the apostles continued that work. And it has been so from generation to generation to generation. And the work isn't over. It's not. We have a ways to go. The ELCA, I don't know if you've been on their website or have noticed, but they have the slogan, God's work, our hands. God's work is not complete. And as Christians, we are called. We are mandated. We're mandated by Christ to go out and love one another, to be in service of healing and helping those that need it, to continue God's work through our hands. Working as a chaplain in a hospital, doing my work there, I see the work of God's hands in play through the doctors, the nurses, the staff, everybody. They do this every day. And they're doing it to people who need it, who are sick, who are dying. And what I have found that sometimes when I go into a room, that when I hug somebody who's watching their mother die in front of them, is a gesture of comfort. Or if I hold the hands of somebody who's in pain and we pray, God's love is there. And it speaks volumes, more than we could ever imagine. So much work is done with our hands. And really, to be honest with you, it's important to take a moment to look at our hands. So I'm going to invite you to do an exercise with me. I want you to hold your hands on your laps. Don't have to do it, it's not mandatory, but humor me. Take a look at them. Take a good, hard look at your hands. Reflect on what they have done, who they have touched, and who they have helped. Maybe family, friends, or coworkers. Could be those hands have touched those who are in pain or even dying. Maybe those hands have helped young or the elderly. Or it could be that your hands have soothed the anxious or even strangers in distress. What have your hands done? God's work calls our hands into service. We have a choice each time that we use these hands, a choice to do good by the way that we use them or the way we touch another person's soul. It is our hands that convey reverence, compassion, patience, gentleness, peace, and all the blessings that come from our heart, which is ultimately the grace and mercy of God. Tonight, we come to the font. And we remember our baptismal calling to have our heart and spirit renewed and refreshed to provide us with strong hands to carry out God's work, for us to go out into the world, get our hands dirty, get into the muck and mire of humanity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.